Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
This should be fun. Tiny little sandwiches. Children. Dogs. There's kind of nothing more disgusting in the world. I don't know what's going to happen here. Relax, come on. I'm not going to hurt you.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Here we go.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, today's show involves sex, not between us, let's get that straight. It involves the conversation thereof, of our social mores and understandings of the acts of sex. So what I want you to do is take your children, escort them out of the room. You can lead them out by showing them some dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets, or some macaroni and cheese or something, you know, those good things that kids eat for their nutrition. Lead them like leading mice with cheese. Lead them to another room. Let them play. Put them in the closet. I mean, I don't condone that, but whatever. And this is just for us today. We're going to talk about aspects of social sex. And then we're going to talk to some experts about that, something that has nothing to do with that. I don't understand what I said either, so don't feel bad. Okay, that's enough of the theme music. I appreciate it, I really do. Jason Shaw composed our theme music used on this program for us. Thank you, Jason. But enough is enough. It's what I say. Also contributing to this program would be the lovely and talented John Shanahan, who is a writer, foremost, a comedian. He has his own podcast series called Hypnagogue. Hypnagogue. Google that. And that's some very interesting music stuff. And he's does a lot of the announcing, comedy commercials and comedy bits on this show. And then there is Nicole Reed, who is our national producer, who sets up these millions of interviews that I do. Thank you, Nicole. And she's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. And then there's my gynecologist, which makes no sense because I'm missing that part, apparently. I don't have a proctologist. I could, but I don't. My medical team thanks you. And I thank you. All right, that's enough. Just sit down, relax, and shut up. The country is even more divided than it's ever been. Let's start there. And let's end it there. That's a fact. There's no talking about it. It just is what it is. This is now has turned into a kingdom. We released ourselves from the monarchy in England back at the initiation of this and forming of this country through the Constitution. And we now have gone right back to putting somebody in the White House who has absolute power and cannot be stopped, reprimanded, unless there's an election, which of which this person is quite handy at manipulation of you and the facts and the lying. So we've thrown ourselves back into a monarchy, teetering on a dictatorship. Congratulations to all of us. This is what I pay taxes for. I don't know. Anyway, let's get off of that. And don't get me started. Do not get me started on that. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we're going to be talking to some of the people at 23andMe. When I originally heard the name of this company, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Apparently, I have 23 chromosomes. That's debatable. I'm still not sure if that's what that means. I have no idea. Anyway, we're going to talk to them. I'll tell you up front, I have absolutely no interest. As a gift, I talked about this about maybe 6 months ago on the show. I'll do it fleetingly here as a catch-up for you. As a gift, I was given a 23andMe kit to find out my heresy, my instability, to look at my family tree, my past, my ancestors. There's Ancestry.com, there's 23andMe, there's screwupyourpast.net. I don't know. There's a lot of them now, and what you do is, if you have absolutely nothing else to do with your life, you can give these people money, and they will tell you where you came from. And then you're supposed to respond by saying, okay, that's nice, but who the hell cares? But some people do. They're usually people that follow horoscopes, that kind of thing. I really don't give a crap who my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great uncle was on my mother's side. I don't care. I just totally don't care. If he was an alcoholic, how does that affect me? I just, like, why are you forcing this? This is the age of too much information. I don't need to know all of this. So 23andMe, that's the name of this company, has said, okay, all right, maybe this is all bull crap. No, they didn't say that. That's what I said. But here's another thing that we do that other people don't do. They say, we can get you into the genetics here, and we can tell you what diseases you might be prone to having based on your family history that you may not be aware of. To which I respond, I don't think I really want to know that. Everything was fine till you people came along. Everything was just fine. Everything was fine until your little cell phone people came along and your little computer buddies, your little iPads, your little me. I wrote everything down on notebook paper and I kept it in a safe place. It worked just fine. Now I've got shit in the clouds. I need a password just to look up my phone number. I can't. I just can't. You have bombarded my mind with useless petty crap that now I need to protect in cyberspace. I don't even know what cyberspace is. I mean, I've heard of it. I kind of know what it is, but I can't get a grasp on it. You have totally screwed up my life. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now I'm watching people walk around talking to themselves through cell devices, being rude, just going into corners and playing with their device, so to speak. We used to call that masturbation when I was growing up. This has replaced masturbation, and that's a sorry situation. Anyway, I'm not here to complain. Oh, wait a minute. That is what I do. That's what I get paid to do, to complain. Well, then let's do it. Okay. Oh, man. Even Disney. Disney's now got its own streaming channel for $2,000 a month. Now you can watch the same thing over and over and over again. And you can binge watch your pants. I mean, Disney has just become corrupt as well. Remember the old days when Walt used to even voice Mickey Mouse when they were like extremely creative for their time? Do you remember that? Oh, I do. I do.
You wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
Life isn't like that anymore, kids. You're missing out big time. You are missing out so much, kids. You have no idea what things used to be like. They were pretty cool. At least that's what I knew as a kid. I didn't know other things. I didn't know my next door neighbors were probably running sex farms in their basement. Too much information once again. Speaking of sex, I went to see a comedy movie in the movie theater. I won't tell you which one it is because for the life of me, it was just so dumb and stupid. I can't believe I wasted $11 on it. That's how much it cost to get into this particular movie. Yeah, not something I'm proud of. However, in the movie, there was this guy that met a girl. They went on a first date. They sat at a table in a restaurant. It was supposed to be a comedy, but I didn't laugh. There was nothing really funny going on. There were some cute lines, but cute don't cut it for $11. And then they made googly eyes at each other. These are two, like, funny people. They're not even serious actors. They're really not. They really couldn't act. They made googly eyes at each other, and then the scene went to black, and then they're in his apartment having sex. And you know what? I'm so sick of this. I don't care. I don't care anymore. When you go out on a date or meet somebody on a subway train by mistake, you know, you're making eyes at somebody in a subway train, and in the next scene in the movie, they're in a hotel room having sex. It just doesn't work like that. If life did, we'd all have sexual diseases, not just you. Stop portraying in the magazines these wonderful looking women with perfect boobs and perfect shapes and perfect sunny personalities, their hair just right. These people don't exist. They are manufactured in a dressing room to look like that. When you meet somebody of the same or opposite sex, depending on your sexual persuasion, you don't end up 10 minutes later in somebody's bedroom having wild, passionate sex. I kind of am glad that isn't the case because that's just very time-consuming. And in the movies, after somebody has sex with somebody else and they're lying in bed together with the covers pulled up over their boobs like they're somewhat shy about their body all of a sudden, they lie there like for 10 minutes and talk. Who lies there after sex? Raise your hand. Yeah, I've done it a few times too. But once you've had sex with somebody, you kind of just want to go downstairs and get a sandwich, don't you? Yeah, you do. And it doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, you're just hungry and you want to get the hell out of that bed. Deed done, we're finished. We can talk later. Perhaps in the kitchen while we're eating a sandwich. Lying in bed and just cuddling? That's adorable. That's an adorable concept, but it doesn't happen that frequently at all. I call it Great Expectations, not the book, but the sexual drive. Great Expectations, this is the way that it's supposed to be, and it's drilled into our head. When you meet somebody, you must have sex with them by the end of the evening. Otherwise, you're a complete failure and a douchebag. That's not the way it is. After you have sex, you used to sit back in the bed and smoke a cigarette. That was just so you didn't have to lie there and cuddle that long. That's all. Great Expectations. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. In the movies, when people have sex after just meeting, for some reason, the sex is always fantastic. It's the best I've ever had. Let me catch my breath. They even mutter the stupid line, "That was amazing. That was amazing. That was amazing." Let me tell you something. Most of the time, it ain't amazing. Are you satisfied? Yeah. Are you satisfied? Yeah. Well, that wasn't amazing.
I know.
People who don't go to bed with everybody they meet on the first date feel like there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the people that go to bed after they just had dinner with someone for the first time on the first date. That's either called a nymphomaniac or a sex addict. That's called not making choices, just doing that. In real life, we turn people down all the time. Would you like to come up to my place?
No, I have to get up early.
Oh, it's not like what happens in the movies. Half of America is walking around saying, "What the hell's wrong with me? Why can't I be like what I see everywhere else? Why can't I lose weight and look like the models in the magazine? Why can't I be a handsome dude on television? Why can't I be a participant on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? What's wrong with me? How come I can't do those things?" These are the great expectations that we just can't live up to. Don't be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. They're really not the way things are. People don't hook up like that anymore. They put each other off for months and months before they engage in any sexual contact whatsoever. It's true. I was very surprised to learn, very, very surprised to learn, that life was not a Lifetime movie. Have you ever seen the Lifetime Movie Network? Life is not like any of those movies. Or the Hallmark Channel. They don't have sex, it's just implied. Implied sex is just as bad. You still feel like you're not catching up to them. That there's something wrong with you. It's ridiculous. All right, we're going to talk to the 23andMe people. I don't know. We're going to do that shortly, right after these words from these people.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you this morning?
Not so bad. Madeline Lynch joins us. She is a genetics trends expert at 23andMe. She's a subject matter expert and a company spokesperson for media engagements, those that, who are, get engaged when they work for the media, I guess. And also Michelle Martinez. I'm sorry. She's a lab assistant from Arlington, Texas, and we'll explain how she gets into the mix here. First of all, Madeline, thanks for being here. Most of us know what 23andMe actually is. It's a place where you find out what your family tree is like and who your second cousin to Lincoln is and all that stuff. But apparently there is a window that most people don't really associate with this service.
Yeah, definitely. And that window is actually the health part of our service. So we do offer, you're right, we offer you know, a whole bunch of reports and tools to help you learn more about your ancestry. But we also offer over 150 reports regarding your health and the role your genes play in your health, wellness, your physical features, and other things like that.
I find it interesting because most people don't, well, I guess in this particular generation, I don't know if you call it the X or the Y generation or anything. I mean, everything's transparent. But when I was growing up, I knew nothing about my family's health. They didn't discuss that with you. It was not my business. I didn't know what my grandfather necessarily died from. I have no idea what conditions they dealt with when they were living. None whatsoever. Completely in the dark. And this starts to kind of open up a possibility.
Yes, definitely. You're not alone in that. You know, a lot of people don't know about their family history, let alone their health family history, which is not really records people keep, you know. So this, you know, our service can definitely bring some light to some of those areas.
Yeah. Now, Michelle, you became involved in this, and you discovered some things, I understand.
Yes. Originally, choosing 23andMe, you know, there are a lot of places that do offer, as you said, just the ancestry reports, and you get to find out a lot of fun facts about yourself. I found it intriguing that there were health reports with the 23andMe test as well. So I found out all the cool stuff that I wanted to know, things I didn't know. I think so much of us have relied on the lore of our family, things that we've been told, and I was surprised by a lot of what I found out. But when I opened the health reports, I found out some carrier status, and I found out what I had a tendency towards. But I looked at the genetic weight report, and that really had an impact, because then I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, wow, I'm supposed to have less weight, have a tendency towards having less weight on my frame. Mm-hmm. And I saw the exact opposite in the mirror. So that really motivated me to get started with some of the carrier traits and some of the tendencies towards other health risks that run in my family. I felt like it was a great time to begin and start simple.
Did you talk to your doctor about the results?
Absolutely. That is actually an important part of things before you begin any kind of lifestyle change. It's important to go to your doctor. With these reports, you can take that and they can look at those and they can say, yeah, I can see where that might have an impact. But I think more than anything, the weight loss, which is over 51 pounds at this point, it's ongoing. My journey is ongoing. And I try to be very gentle with myself about not making drastic changes. Mm-hmm. And it's a process, and it's for the long term.
So this kind of gave you the little kick in the butt that you needed, may I put it so prolifically?
Oh, it absolutely did. It absolutely did. And I encourage others to do the same thing, and my family especially.
Okay. Now, Madeline, with 23andMe, are there some people that say, oh, I don't want to know. Oh, no. If I find out something that was in my family and I'm prone to it, oh, my God, it's going to change my life. Are they scared, or do they find that, yeah, I'm glad I knew this, now I can address it?
Yeah, you know, it can be a little bit of both. Generally, we actually did recently do a study just to see how many people had those feelings, and actually 76% of people reported making a positive change in their health. So taking some sort of action like eating healthier or exercising more. So generally, you know, based on that data, we see that people are, you know, learning this information and then saying, you know, wow, this is, now that I know, I need to do something about it.
Okay, pretty cool, in a sense. Now, I've always wondered, this is a little off topic, I've always wondered, where did that name 23andMe come from?
Yeah, so 23andMe, you know, you have 23 pairs of chromosomes, so there's the 23.
I did not know
and
that. I didn't know there were 23. I have 10, I think. Okay, anyway. So that's where it's from. That's number chromosomes. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Wow. All right. What's the furthest back you've ever gone in tracing somebody's tree?
Yeah, Yeah, so generally we provide people with the tools so that they're able to do it themselves, but people really find a lot of information from our service. So we can match you with you know, your living relatives who have also participated in the service.
Yeah.
And we recently did just release a family tree so that people do have the tools now to actually you know, place those relatives that maybe didn't participate in our service on their tree and add information.
Okay. That's all I need, more relatives. Ugh. I guess it depends. All right. Yeah, it's becoming extremely popular. I mean, everybody is kind of talking about it when they sit down and just talk about things. That pops up, and then the conversation just kind of rolls. It's a great conversation starter, I'll tell you that. Okay. So, Michelle, so things have changed as a result of this inquiry, apparently, and in a positive manner, and I guess that's what this is all about.
Most definitely, most definitely. The part about having to be gentle with myself, in realizing, you know, looking at some of the reports, and realizing is just that who I was doesn't necessarily have to dictate who I am going to be.
That's right.
And that's constantly changing. The information with 23andMe also, as more data becomes available, it does update.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, they have more things that are available, more reports that they're identifying, more risks, more more tendencies towards other conditions. So it's something that keeps you engaged as well.
Yes. And I mean, to just put my two cents in, this is not meant to run your life and to throw you into certain directions. It's done as an aid, as a tool to do what you wish and to run your life accordingly. But it's not meant to tell you, this is who you are, you better do this.
Most definitely. I would say that some of the risks that are indicated are exactly that. And I think they're very clear in stating that. It doesn't necessarily mean that you will develop if you have a variant that's listed.
Correct.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to. And you can change those things.
Yes.
And at least you can make a step in the right direction towards changing those things.
Okay. Well, I need 13 more chromosomes. That's what I found out here just in this short interview. All right, how do I get more information? As if I didn't know, but you tell me.
Yeah, so you can learn more information just on our website at 23andme.com.
There you go. Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, Mr. Van Dam, thanks for having us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. I mean, whatever. I mean, I don't do these things to condone or to imply. It's whatever. So there's your whatever for today. I told you this like months ago. I was given a gift to, I told you also at the beginning of the show, I was given a gift to be genetically tested to find out what idiots I'm connected to in my past. And I did it, and nothing really happened. It did show that I'm 70% European and 30% asshole. I knew about the 30% already, but the European thing, I didn't know, and also I didn't care. I also would have preferred if they broke down the European thing into a country instead of the whole region, but so be it. So I get those results, and apparently they update you as more people join this genetic club, so to speak. They send you little emails, and all of a sudden I'm getting somebody emails me who says that they're claiming that they are my third cousin on my grandfather's side. And is this true? Was your grandfather's name whatever? And my reaction was not, oh my God, this is wonderful, I'm connecting to people in my family who I don't know. My reaction was not that at all. My reaction was, oh my God, somebody's stalking me. Why are you contacting me? I don't know you. Why are you stalking me? Why are you saying you're connected to me? Who are you? Stop contacting me. This is like I'm being telemarketed by a family member. I'm uncomfortable with that. Let's just leave things the way they are, turn around, walk away from each other, and that's it. The only time I would find this fascinating is if the person who contacted me was a model who had been in a magazine, goes on a first date, has dinner, and then invites you up to their place to have wild, passionate sex. Then contact me. Well, that'll do it for me today. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, because if you don't, that's on you. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Have a good time, bro, sis, uncle, beau, aunt, crappy. Stop contacting me.